Wickedly Macabre, we're back. We're crazy and we're back.
We're back.
Hi
there. Back again.
It's Dee.
And Debbie.
And we're late to the game again. But you know what? I'm not even worried about it. Are you worried
about
it?
We're late for other people, but not for us.
Yeah.
But let's just go with that.
We'll just do that. We're actually in the same location at the same time, which is super exciting because this hasn't happened since we had the motel thing. And then we lost two of the episodes we recorded. And so hopefully we won't lose these recordings this time. I'm backing it up, kids. I'm backing it up. Hope you had a wonderful holiday season. Glad you're listening. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being you. Thanks for accepting us. Quick update. My butt still hurts. Not as bad. And my stomach is not full of chili anymore. So, also, doing well. Tiffany, how you doing?
I'm sitting on a beanbag.
This is not a beanbag. There's no beans in this pillow.
I'm sitting on something that looks like a beanbag.
Nope, it is a giant pillow. It is literally, we went to Costco last year, right after getting our membership, and it was there, and Jeff was like, oh, we should get this for the living room, and I was like, we don't need that for the living room. He's like, yeah, we should get it, and then the kids can lay on it, and then we can lay on it, and I mean, it is a massive, massive pillow. And so he convinced me to buy this giant pillow. And it's literally just a big square. And so you can lay it down and it's like square, almost like a dog bed, right? And then there's the, you can put it on its side like I have right now in front of my desk and use it to lounge or do like a single chair, which is what I do because I can't sit on my ball chair right now because of my booty.
I have a ball chair at work right now.
My booty hurts.
Butt pain.
Pain in the butt.
Ha!
Yeah. Did you get anything fun for Christmas?
I got new headphones.
That's good. Oh, yes.
Right next to us. One of our listeners, one of my family members got it, who listens.
Aww.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, Mark.
/ Secret Santa, our version of Secret Santa, which wasn't really a secret.
Oh, it's just, hey, everybody.
Known Santa.
Yeah, yeah, that's what we did too. Actually, my grandmother-in-law, she pulled my name and she got me a little demon.
Your little demon is so cute.
Yeah, it is an adopted demon and it's a little felted demon that's like in a little cosmetic sample cup. And I haven't named it yet, but it is fantastic and adorable and tiny, and it's my little demon baby.
You should post a picture of it.
I should. Yeah. And then today I started my nails, my New Year's Eve nails, because I've been dealing with the Debbie Downers, the winter blues, the hi, I'm depressed for no fucking reason besides there's not enough sun in the sky and everything, and I can't sit without pain. So I did my nails and they're extra sparkly, which I typically don't do, like sparkle in your face sparkles. So I did sparkles in your face sparkles, but it looks good because it kind of reminds me of confetti. Tiffany, what do you think?
I think my mom would love it.
Yeah.
It's that sparkly.
Your mom does love sparkles.
Yes. Her nickname, I call her Sparkle Pants.
Sparkle Pants.
Yep.
Maybe I'll post a picture of these too.
You know, my favorite gift is, I don't know why I didn't think of this right away. Favorite gift that I got for Christmas.
It's me.
You were already my friend.
Oh.
My favorite gift was a Zoom membership.
Nice.
Yeah.
That is a really good. I think that is the best type of gift.
Me too.
Because it takes up zero room. And when you have kids like myself, toys just become piles and you lose all sight of organization. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But things to do saves you money and it saves you like planning. Like, I don't have to plan every weekend what we're gonna do. I have options.
Yep.
I like having options. I can do the zoo, or I can go to OMSI, or I can go to, like, I don't know, a water park. Just buy me all the memberships, please. Because I will, or like fancy things to do out in the world.
Yeah, you're making memories, not piles.
Memories, not piles. I hate piles. I have too many piles.
So tomorrow I'm going to the zoo. The best part of the zoo membership is, not only is it a membership for me, so I'm the named person, but instead of doing two named adults, I did one named adult me, one guest of any age.
Sorry, I'm going to move stuff around really quick.
And two kids, because of my, technically my great niece and nephew, who are, kids. And your kids.
Yeah.
Which means I could go with you and you could bring the kids and it's free.
I like it.
Yep.
And really, all it takes is two trips and it pays for itself.
It does. Yeah. And what's cool is it's also kind of a gift for me to spend time with your kids. Mm-hmm. So instead of getting piles of crap, we're making memories. And same with my niece and nephew.
Yeah, I love it. It's a good idea.
I'm so excited. I love freaking animals.
Yay, animals.
If you can't tell, I'm excited.
We had a zoo membership and it basically paid for itself. And then we let it lapse because this summer we didn't use it at all because of the moving and the car accident. And me having the upper ankle sprain, and so walking wasn't easy. And oh my God.
Then your trip down the stairs.
And then my trip down the stairs, that was the fall.
The fall.
Yeah. Thanks.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
My goodness.
So we used to have a zoo membership too, but then COVID happened and then that threw a wrench in everything. And then before that, for years, we had OMSI memberships.
I would love an OMSI membership. I love OMSI. OMSI After Dark is amazing. So for those of you who live out of the state and have never been to Oregon, OMSI is a...
Oregon Museum of Science and Industry.
Yeah, and it's awesome. It has like kids stuff, it has adult stuff. OMSI After Dark is an adults only thing that they do like once a month, and there's drinks and fun. It is a cool place to go. So if you ever go to Oregon, go to OMSI. They also have a submarine, and I like submarines. Yeah. Oh, but speaking of my ankle, going back to my ankle. So one of my more favorite Christmas gifts, this was from Graham's, and I opened it backwards. So I opened it up and here's the back of this plaque and it says rolls a joint. And I was just like, oh man, I don't smoke pot, but this is probably going to be like funny. And I flip it over and it says, I don't always roll a joint, but when I do, it's my ankle. And so every time I look at this thing, I am cracking up.
That's so funny.
How accurate it is.
That's the perfect thing to get you.
I know. I just like, oh, I'm so glad that you have a sense of humor. And I'm like, of course I have a sense of humor. Like, that's how we get through life.
So funny.
Fun creepy facts to creep you out. All right, Tiffany. Are you ready for the fun freaky fact? The fun creepy fact. God damn it. You gave me the eye. And I knew that I fucked up. Damn it, Tiffany.
Okay, season two, we just changed the name of it.
I'm not changing the name.
What's going to happen at season three?
I don't know. Maybe we'll just take it out completely and we'll do what injury did Dee suffer this week?
You can't see it, but I'm making really funny faces at Dee right now.
Bitch.
The entertainment that happens when you're recording in person changes.
It does a little bit. Okay, so, fun creepy fact to creep you out. Hey, Tiffany, do you know what's as common as childhood dyslexia?
I do.
Oh, do you?
It took me a second to remember what you were going to say, though.
Damn it! I'm setting this up like you don't know what we're talking about.
No, I don't. I totally don't. I don't remember at all.
Damn it. Okay. So, 8% of children have dyslexia. Also, 8% of children hear voices, like, in their head. Disembodied voices. That creepy?
Very.
Yeah.
Also
makes a lot of sense.
It sure does.
Children are creepy.
Yep.
Yeah.
They say the most creepy shit.
My daughter talks about death all the time. She'll look at me and say, "Mommy, you're gonna die first."
I don't know why, but that one makes me giggle. It shouldn't make me giggle, but it makes me giggle.
The first time she said it, was so creeped out. I was like, "Why do you say that?" She's like, "Oh, because you're the oldest." And she says that she's going to outlive everybody else in the family. So, I mean, kudos for her. I'm down for that. I'll die first. Whatevs.
It's all that. Tajine.
Tajine.
Yep. She loves it.
She loves tajine. Yeah. So, 8% of children hear voices. Who knows if they're actually just in their head or if it is the disembodied voices of the dead. Speaking beyond the grave to your children's ears, creeping in and making them just a little bit darker on the inside. Let's go to the coin of fate. All right, Tiffany.
We have a new coin today.
What is our coin?
Our coin is from one of my friends slash coworkers.
Okay, shout out.
Shout out to Stephanie.
Yeah, Stephanie!
She gave me a coin from Austria. It's a 5 cent coin.
Are we sure it's not five money? Like $5? No. No.
No.
It would be bigger.
Yeah, from 2002. We also got a... what looks like a penny.
I'm gonna drink some water really fast. Sorry, here's your ASMR for the evening.
I remembered I put it on top of my cup. So the 1 cent is from 2017 and the 5 cent is from 2002.
I'm going to say 2002.
2002 it is.
All right.
Okay, ready?
Flip that coin!
Flip that shit! Just kidding.
Actually, I almost said that. Oh no, you gotta flip it again. It fell off.
Okay. It also, this part's magnetic, so it's stuck.
So you gotta like... eh.
That did not even flip.
Wait, which one's heads and which one's tails?
This part's.
Tails?
Yep.
Okay. Come on, leafy bits!
Leafy bits!
Yeah! That means it's the paranormal. Which I'm also kind of adapting into mysteries and cryptozoology. So definitely. Bear with me here on the mysterious, creepy, creep stuff.
How do you feel about me writing an episode about what you usually write about and you writing an episode about what I usually write about?
Okay.
Because I thought that would be fun.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna bring up my story. It's a story. A story about something. Something creepy. Doop, doop, doop. Where is it? Doop, doop, doop. I think I'm on the wrong thing. Thank you for being here.
It's more fun being here.
All right, Tiffany. I present to you something that is highly debated in scientific and medical communities. A pseudoscience or parascience, if you will.
That is it spicy?
No.
Is it hot?
It can become a hot topic when brought up, making for some heated debates. I, of course, am talking about spontaneous human combustion! Dun, dun,
dun. Wait, is that what happens when you eat a flaming Cheeto?
No, that's...
I'm just kidding.
That's too hot for your butt poops.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that how you fall down the stairs?
No, shut the fuck up. I'm gonna punch you. It is a mysterious and highly rare method of death for a human, which science has yet to acknowledge because it states it cannot exist. Spontaneous human combustion rides the border of paranormal, but what is paranormal if not a strange event that science has not yet found answers to definitively explain, despite witness accounts and physical proof of occurrence? I hope you are ready, my macabre Bob mom, because we are forking straight into a pile of craziness. Here we go, yo. Are you ready? Well, first off, Tiffany, have you heard of this?
Sure have.
Okay, before I started this story, like, over a year ago?
Yes.
Okay.
But I have never researched anything.
Okay.
I've heard a few stories.
Yeah, so it's, you will see this, like, there's never, ever a show dedicated or documentary dedicated to spontaneous human combustion. It's always anecdotal stories. And so you'd hear a little like tidbit about how somebody was found, you know, burned to death and everything else around them is fine. And then, you know, you move on to the next mystery, like, oh, you know, UFO in Canada. And then you'd have spontaneous human combustion and then the Mothman. And it would just be like a part of a series of weird stuff. So, and I think mostly because it's such a hard thing to kind of take serious. Those out there who may not have heard of this phenomenon before, I promise this is no fad or urban myth. For the past 600 years, we have hundreds of documented accounts of spontaneous human combustion, or SHC, which is when a human randomly goes up in flames so hot that bones become ash. No external ignition source can positively be identified, and the victim's surroundings are barely damaged, and the torso are typically where the combustion occurs, and it's not uncommon to see the extremities left intact, like a foot, hand, or a leg. A foul odor and an oily substance can accompany the ash pile that was once human. Here are the most popular or famous accounts of spontaneous human combustions. So the first ever recorded case is from the 1400s. An Italian knight, Polonus, P-Man. P-Man. Yeah, I can't even pronounce his last name. Vorstius. P to the V, who is an Italian knight. He drank a very strong wine, and he burps or vomits flames, and then soon erupts into a blaze, burning to ash, leaving his surroundings untouched by the fire. No one else who drank the same wine reacted this way. Okay, so the next occurrence is in the 1600s, Thomas Bartholin, the famed Danish physician responsible for being the first to discover the human lymphatic system, is credited for being the first to document a case of SHC. The account is brief, stating that a woman was found in her Paris home burned to ash, leaving the bed made of straw she was laying in at the time of her death nearly untouched. And straw is highly flammable. So that is very odd. In 1925, France, Ms. Millet, a known drinker, one night she goes down to the kitchen to warm up and she was found by her husband, Jean Millet. Oh, I guess it's not Millet, it's Millet. Sorry, I had to get into French mode there. The next morning, after being awoken by a horrible smell, he found her burned to ashes, leaving only a portion of her head and some intestines in the unburned chair she sat in. Jean was arrested and put on trial for the murder of his wife, with the theory being that he killed his wife so he could pursue a younger woman. Jean was ultimately found not guilty, and her death was ruled a visitation from God. There are variations to this account that say that there was a surgeon that testified on his behalf, which convinced the jury to find him not guilty on the basis of spontaneous human combustion. But other accounts state that no surgeon testified and he was merely an acquaintance of the Millets and had previously just stayed with them. Another victim of SHC in the 1700s was the Countess Cornelia de Bandy, and I found this account kind of interesting. Her remains were found one morning between her bed and window. Her body was burned to ash except for her lower legs and three of her fingers. Candles found in her room had the tallow melted, but the wicks left unlit. The rest of her room was unscathed.
That's weird.
Right? In the 1770s, De Incentis Corpus Humani Spontaneous by Jonas Dupont is published. Dupont was inspired by the Millet case, and he decided to research spontaneous human combustion, and the book was a collection of SHC accounts he discovered. I cannot find a copy of this book on the internet. Sadly, I cannot account for the stories he uncovered, and this makes me sad. It does look like the nearest copy is in Harvard University and is written in Latin.
Mm.
So, not... I love you guys, but I'm not going to Harvard.
If you could.
Yeah, like, to rent this rare manuscript.
Yeah, you can't even read it.
But it'd be super cool to get a copy and then, you know, Google Translate that shit. Because it would be amazing to see how many more accounts we don't know of that have not hit, like, the internet research shit. All right, so SHC didn't get popular or widely known until Charles Dickens published his book, Bleak House, in March of 1852. Said to be inspired by the De Incentis Corporis Humani Spontaneous, he kills off a character by the name of Crook by spontaneous human combustion. This caused a slight uproar by scientists and writers alike to comment publicly on the method of death used in the book. As they say, any press is good press, and SHC starts its ascent into every home. Fast forward to Christmas Eve in 1885, a small town, Seneca, Illinois. The Moonies are drinking and chatting with one of their farmhands. Nothing was out of the ordinary. Later that night, Matilda Mooney was found burnt to ash with little bone fragments of her in the kitchen. But her feet and the remainder of the room were left untouched, indicating that the flames were restricted to just that of her body. There were also no signs of a source of ignition near her remains. Surprisingly, her husband was found in another room, dead from suffocation from the fumes of his wife's body. Accounts seemed to boom in the 1900s, and I suspect that this is due to the changing nature of record-keeping, media, and photography becoming more popular, and with the invention of motion pictures and television bringing documentaries and imaginative shows featuring it in episodes, SHC became more widely known. July 1951, Mary Reeser is found in her apartment by her landlord in St. Petersburg, Florida. It is said prior to entering the apartment, the door was very hot. Mary was in a pile of ash, except for her shrunken skull and undamaged foot. Her remains were in the center of a 6-foot circle of scorched carpet, which also included a chair and end table. The rest of the apartment was untouched, including a pile of newspapers on the floor near the scorched circle. In 1967, England, a fire brigade arrives at the site of an apartment fire called in by a passenger of a passing bus. I am guessing they got off the bus and used a phone booth, like a payphone, because no cell phones in those days for those, yeah. You know, after Y2K babies listening. They enter the apartment and find the body of Robert Francis Bailey, a homeless man, dead, with blue flames emanating from an opening of his belly. In the 1970s, Jeanette Kazmierczak, yep, totally pronounced that right, her husband and son lived in France. Shortly after her husband went missing and could not be found by the authorities, a neighbor found Jeanette's remains, another body burned to ash except for her legs. Her apartment was left untouched by the flames. I couldn't find a date or location on this one, but as a parent of a child who has special needs, it broke my heart. A father who lived with and took care of his mentally disabled adult daughter. He sees a flash in the corner of his eye and turns to find his daughter engulfed by a fire. She sat motionless and silent in a chair. The father risks his own life to put out the flames starting to engulf his daughter. He suffers horrible burns for his heroic actions, and while she survives the ordeal, she is comatose before eventually passing away. In 1986, a man in Crown Point, New York, was sitting down one night in his home watching an episode of The Twilight Zone when he spontaneously combusts. The last reported case was on December 22, 2010, in Galway, Ireland. Michael Faraday was 76 years old at the time of his death. He was found lying on his back in his living room with his head near the fireplace in the room. Once again, you have charred remains with the damage isolated to the floor below him and the ceiling above him. The investigation found the fireplace was not the cause and there was no accelerant found. The medical examiner could not find a source of ignition after further examination and testing and thus ruled it death by spontaneous human combustion. There have been studies done by science which has provided some plausible answers. And I say plausible with like little air quotes. I hope that helps.
Let's be specific.
Yeah. So we have external ignition. The most simplest of options, a lighter, a cigarette, a cigar, a match, a nearby lit candle. You happen to graze with your loose, comfy sweater, or an ember that pops from the fireplace from across the room. Hits you, you go up in flames, right? Buildup of static electricity in the body. I don't really know how that works. I really don't. It, like, if you have a buildup of static electricity, all you have to do is, like, go boop, and you shock mm-hmm. your way out of that. Ketosis. Which I thought was interesting because a lot of people right now, you know, in the last, like, what, 5-6 years have been really big on the keto diet. And the keto diet puts you in ketosis. And this is due to a low-carb diets and alcoholism, which can cause small amounts of acetone to build up in the body, which is very flammable. Now, don't quote me on this. I'm not saying that keto is unhealthy or dangerous. That's something for you and your doctor to discuss. I am not a doctor. Do not claim to be one in real life or on TV. So don't take this as medical advice. It's just one of the things that science has pointed to. Also, self-immolation or setting yourself on fire, which is just that. You set yourself on fire. But in order to do that, you do have to have an accelerant. The wick effect. Now, this is the biggest proponent to the, I don't know, did I use that word correctly? I don't know if I'm using that correctly. Sorry, guys, if I sound stupid right now. But the wick effect would be the most popular opinion for explaining the phenomenon. You know how an oil lamp works, right? You have, like, the oil down at the bottom. You have, like, the little wick up here, and you light it. And then the wick will burn until there's no more oil in the lamp or you put it out. And it's usually just located to the area of the fuel. In the wick effect theory, they believe that there is an external ignition. And then by using the body and clothes as the fuel, the human body burns away. Okay. But all these options rely on external ignition. So I guess we really didn't need to elaborate on the options, Sergeant Scientists, because all of them have the basis of needing an external ignition point. Has not accounted for internal ignition. So, but how... I guess this kind of leads us into the next question, right? Which is, how hot does a fire need to be to reduce a human body to ash?
It's funny you say that. I was just about to be like, Except it needs to be really fucking hot.
It has to be so hot that it burns in a short period of time, and it is localized only to the area of the human body. And even then, it sometimes doesn't go outside of the area of the human body. So, I mean, like, ignite, be really, really fucking hot.
And then done.
And you're done.
Just that by itself, when you think about it, it's crazy.
It is. And then my next question is, could alcoholism and ketosis really be an option, right? Is consuming alcohol something that, like, could put us more at risk for spontaneously combusting into flames and dying? And do our bodies contain flammable materials naturally? So, on that note, let's talk about crematoriums and cremations. Here's where we get a little bit dark on this show. Crematoriums use a cremation chamber, which looks like a really big pizza oven. And it's just big enough to fit one human body. Using natural gas, propane, or diesel in the chamber, it can heat up to 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit, but usually is used between 1,400 and 1,600 degrees Fahrenheit. So, hot as fuck. After the pizza oven, the chamber has cooled, and the remains are still recognizable as human remains. So that means that most of the skeleton is still intact. So the meaty bits, the tissues and the organs, those are the ones that really burn fairly easily into ash. A strong magnet is used to remove any metal fillings, implants, or joints. Then the charred remains are placed in the cremulator, which is like a blender or a shredder, but for the dead. And this is what creates the ashes or cremains we receive when a loved one passes on. So crematoriums can be used anywhere from 1,400 to 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And that chars and weakens the bones and turns the soft tissues into ash remains. But here's the real kicker, folks. It takes 3 to 4 hours to get to that point, and it's still not a match for what spontaneous human combustion leaves behind. So we are looking for something that burns hotter and in a shorter period of time than a crematorium. I did decide to talk to Jeff about this because he's a scientist. He's a biochem major, a member of Mensa, a water treatment plant operator. So he literally plays with chemistry every day, and is literally the smartest man I know. So my husband, Jeff, and I actually, when I first started researching, I asked him these questions and I recorded it. And I don't know if I still have that. If I do, I'll play it. If I don't, the conversation kind of went like this. Hey, have you heard of spontaneous human combustion? And then Jeff was like, nope, I haven't heard of it. Why? And I'm like, well, it's, you know, when people just...
Wait, he had never heard of it
before? I don't think so. I could be making that part up. Anyway, I explained to him what I'm doing. And I'm like, can I ask you some questions on record? And he was like, oh, man, I'm going to get in trouble for this.
Dad, I think you need some rest.
Thanks,
Bea. Our manager says we need to rest.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Phoenix. I know.
We're almost done, Fee.
Yep. I didn't even hear that. Okay. Anyway, so I basically ask him, is it possible? Because I think a lot of people who don't like go into the research, and I think there's a lot of hot points where it's like, oh, well, we're fueled by atoms and nucleuses and all the little tiny little micro little in there. And, you know, we have the nuclear bomb and we have the atom bomb. are we just bombs? And he looks he looks at me like, these people aren't going up in mushroom clouds. So it is not a nuclear reaction or an atomic reaction that is happening to cause this. If it was, it would be a lot bigger and more mushroomy.
It would probably happen more often.
Probably. And so I asked him about alcohol and other substances. And I think that's kind of where I'm leading, is the other substances. But we're going to go over the alcohol and how that works in your blood system. And I swear, I'm not trying to be like D, the science D. I am strictly doing this to unravel the mystery of spontaneous human combustion. I'm sorry if I have too many facts coming and I'm sounding like a scientist, because I'm not. But I almost rule out alcohol as a real option too. But here's what I've learned about alcohol. Ethanol is the kind of alcohol found in our liquor cabinets. 100% ethanol alcohol has a flash point of 52.7 degrees Fahrenheit and burns at 3,488 degrees Fahrenheit. But no one drinks 100% alcohol, and the more you dilute it, typically with water, the flash point gets higher, making it tougher to light. Blood, like the rest of the human body, is around 60% water and is not flammable. What about the blood alcohol content, right? Like, you take a drink and you're going to have some alcohol in your system. So have you ever wondered what the, like, oh, you blew a, you know, 0.8.
Yep.
Right? Have you ever wondered what that means?
Nope.
Okay.
But, Sheriff's Cadet, so.
Yeah, you just look at the numbers, you know, oh, okay, that's too high.
No, I mean, like, it's not new to me.
Yeah, you understand the concept, but you don't know what that number represents, right?
I do, but you can explain it.
Okay.
Because not everyone does.
Well, I'm going to explain it, Tiffany, because not everybody knows.
I'm just special.
So, blood alcohol levels. 0.0, you're sober, right? You got nothing. 0.08, you've reached intoxication. Give me your keys. You know, go call an Uber. You're not going anywhere. 0.20, you're impaired, confused, and maybe even blacking out. 0.30, you have alcohol poisoning. You should probably go to the hospital. 0.35, you're about to get your coma on. You're about to go to coma land.
Coma land.
Yeah, because you're beyond alcohol poisoning. You are in a really bad place there. If you're not at the hospital, get there. And 0.45, you have drank yourself to death. And alcohol is flammable, right? Yes, kind of. It's not the liquid, but the vapors coming off the liquid that are flammable. And the colder the liquid, the less vapors there are. So you need a minimum of 50% alcohol content for this to work. So it won't work with beers or wine. And while it burns significantly higher than crematoriums, you would need a 50% alcohol to blood ratio to become flammable. Here's the kicker. You would pass out and die before you could even get to 1% alcohol blood content. And in my opinion, that blood alcohol level is an unlikely culprit to fuel the spontaneous human combustion. So this kind of pushes me into two other elements, and that is magnesium and phosphorus. Okay? Magnesium, it plays an important part in our immune systems, normal nerve and muscle functions, protein synthesis, heart health, strengthens bones and energy production for our bodies. We store it mostly in our bones, but it can be found throughout our body's tissues, including the blood, which stores about 1% of the body's content. In its raw form, though, it is extremely volatile and hazardous. Easily catches on fire. I wrote easily caught on file. Combusting and water and fire extinguishers fail to put out these flames. Instead, they end up feeding the blaze. That's right, Macabre Bob's. Magnesium makes water flammable. It burns at 4,000 degrees Fahrenheit and has a flash point of 850 degrees Fahrenheit, so not so likely to catch on fire inside the human body, because you would have to reach that flash point of 850 degrees Fahrenheit. I don't want to look at the Celsius numbers. Phosphorus. The name phosphorus actually translates to light bearer in Greek. It naturally occurs in most foods and is the second most abundant material in the body. It helps regulate, like, everything from blood pH to the function of your organs, with over, like, 80%, I think, is kept in our teeth.
Wow.
Yeah. But this is a substance that, like, it is flammable when it's not wet. So when it hits air, that's when it's flammable. And this is like white phosphorus is what you see magicians use when they go like poof. They make a little flash and it goes puff. And they're not spontaneously combusting. So
interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So I've come to realize that while we humans are made of flammable materials, we don't just combust on a regular basis because we are a perfect balance of these materials. It's only when we have bodies that do not perform as they should, we see these cases of combustion. But how we fail to answer the biggest question, how do we ignite from the inside? Evidence shows that fires originate in the torso. It's not an explosion, but a fast and hot burn. We're not talking about people that are like sitting there screaming in pain either. So the death is pretty instantaneous. You're not struggling to contain or put out a fire like you would if your sweater caught on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Tiffany, if your sweater caught on fire, would you go and sit in front of the TV as you burn to death?
Yeah, no.
No, you would do the stop, drop, and roll. So an external ignition does not make sense, especially if it's your clothes, because of the content of how we react to those things. We don't just sit there and let our bodies burn. Unless it's self-immolation, such as, like, the monks doing it, where they're doing it in a protest, and, you know, killing themselves that way. Anyway, how do we ignite from the inside? So, it's like, you have to have a fast and hot burn. Like, really hot. We're talking a minimum of 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And it stays within our body. Much like what you see happen in movies when they light a trail of gunpowder. Once it ignites, it burns fast and hot with the flame only following the path of the fuel, leaving the surrounding areas untouched. I consulted Jeff again, and he was stumped. I tried to find something in research, but now I was stumped. Because something supernatural actually be happening to cause these poor souls to combust? There, surprise, surprise, are multiple theories with root in the paranormal. So let's take a look at these because I do think that one of them is plausible and not in quotes, right? Actually, I think two of them are. It all depends on like how much you believe and what you believe in, right? Okay, so the first one we're going to talk about is pyrokinesis. Tiffany, are you familiar with pyrokinesis?
Nope.
Okay, cool. Something you're not familiar with. Let me explain it to you. A psychic power to control fire. A firebender, if you will. This ability is so rare that it has never really been encountered, or at least not a case strong enough to support its existence. So it's basically just a freaking idea. There's been no case plausible, non-explainable, that has supported that pyrokinesis is actually a thing. Those who have claimed to be endowed with such gifts have been proven to be fakes using chemical combustions to aid in their deception. However, I think that just because we haven't found a possible real case doesn't mean that it could not exist or couldn't happen. So I think pyrokinesis is a far-fetched option.
Yeah.
Like, I'm taking that off the board. Here's the board. Here's D. I'm taking it, and I'm just throwing it. That was me throwing
sorry,
it.
Sorry, Harper.
Yeah, sorry, Harper. So the next one is a poltergeist, or PK entities. These are typically manifests at time of great stress, hormonal changes such as menopause or puberty, living humans, most likely females, with psychokinesis, who unknowingly manifest their negative energies into active, powerful energy entity, which acts on its own and has the ability to move items. Slamming of cabinets and drawers, glasses sliding off counters, many accounts report levitating items or people, and violent attacks and touches too. The person with the PK cannot control it, and it usually credits a ghost or demon haunting, never realizing that it's been them all along. Some have speculated that spontaneous human combustion is the advanced or super rare poltergeist phenomenon. I can only speculate as to why this would happen, and here are my thoughts. So this is purely speculation. There's nothing to build back this up, but this is me just like using my common sense button and putting two and two together to make four, right? When a PK becomes so strong and powerful, it can become self-aware and separate from its owner slash creator. I think that maybe, just maybe, the spontaneous human combustion could be a result of either a failed PK breaking from its host, or it's self-aware and hates its host so much that it kills it intentionally, causing it to burn and die from internal combustion.
Hmm.
So that, to me, makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's the only way I can validate that.
It makes more sense than the other options.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. And this one is also... So the last one I have is ball lightning. A very rare weather phenomenon that cannot be successfully replicated in a lab and is still kind of considered a pseudoscience too. They form an association with thunderstorms and can be as small as a pea, and are known to follow people around and inside buildings. They have been said to explode or implode with a loud bang and sulfurous scent. They are almost never noticed until they explode. So one theory explains that maybe these balls of electricity hit these humans who are in poor health and that caused them to combust spontaneously. Lightning gets way hot. Now, remember what I said. You need a minimum of 3,000 degrees to burn the way that you do in spontaneous human combustion.
Which is insane.
Do you want to know how hot this ball lightning is said to get?
1,000.
10 times that.
Wow.
30,000 degrees Fahrenheit. People who are struck by normal lightning, they survive, right? I don't think you would survive ball lightning if you got hit.
No.
So, I think that the paranormal gives a few more options to consider when debunking, or not debunking, but looking into spontaneous human combustion, what the reason could be. And out of the hundreds of cases of death by spontaneous human combustions, I can only find two survivors. Okay?
Wow.
Frank Banker, a Vietnam War veteran and the recipient of not one, but two Purple Hearts. In June of 1995, he was hanging out with a friend in his living room, preparing for his fishing trip, when all of a sudden, he was on fire. His friend put out the flame and got Frank to the hospital, where the doctor told him he burned from the inside out. He had all the markers of SHB. SHC? Where the fuck did B come from? Known for drinking and smoking. Since the first occurrence he has had two more similar events. Science hasn't provided him with many answers either. And let's face it, the American medical system is very broken and expensive. So he probably will never get any answers. Now the next survivor is Jack Angel. And he is the other one that I found. His story takes a strange turn. He was suing the manufacturer of his hot water heater, stating it malfunctioned, blowing up and burning him severely, and had to be hospitalized. However, the doctor treating him would go on to state his burns originated from an internal source and not an external source. Once again, we have a doctor saying a patient has burned from the inside out. Soon after that, Jack changes his story. Now he claims he seemingly fell asleep, all is well and fine, only to wake up finding himself horribly burned all over his body. So if you are anything like me, and I am assuming since you are listening to me talking right now, and deny it all you want, but there's a little black spot on the depths of your soul in the shape of the letter D, and that's me there, inside you. And we are wondering, how the flying flugelhorn fart knocker can you tell if somebody burns from the inside outward versus the normal outside in? Right? Are you wondering that? Because I'm wondering that.
Yeah.
Are you just humoring me? No. Tiffany's just humoring me.
No, like, I'm not a doctor, so how would you know?
I like that question. Yeah. I asked myself the same question, Tiffany. Let's discover.
Also okay. Not a fire investigator.
Yeah. Well, okay, so I thought about this long and hard for about 5 minutes, and I found the answer is pretty simple. I should note, while I'm about to describe seems smart and common sense, it is pure speculation. So once again, putting my common sense hat on and gonna throw down a hypothesis, if you will. I assume that the burned area to the surface tissues, the skin, that's the skin we see, right? Is smaller than that of the burned underlying tissues, which is the layers of skin below the skin we see, the fascia, capillaries, and muscles. I also imagine this might also create a pocket of burned tissue below the skin. The internal tissues would probably be the most damaged. So you would see a smaller damaged tissue at the surface and larger area of damaged tissues as you got closer to the ignition site. So kind of like a volcano, right? You have the tiny little opening up here, but the hot magma is what builds up that like cavernous lava explosion. That question alone disassembles every single theory science presents, as it cannot account for burning from the inside out or a way to ignite. So in conclusion, this was a horribly frustrating topic to research, mostly because I walk away unable to say if there's a logical or even illogical answer to it. But I think that we still have a lot to learn about the human body, and a lot to learn about the human existence. And thank God this is an extremely rare chance of ever happening to me, to you, or to us. But the chance is not eliminated completely. Yeah, because this two surviving cases eliminate everything. 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 I have never been so infuriated with research and a case before in my life. Because there's no answer. It's so freaking mysterious. Like, I want to say, oh, it's ball lightning. That makes complete sense. Makes complete sense.
You know, it's interesting. My dad and I were just talking about this on Friday. We were talking about how just true crime and paranormal stuff, like basically everything that we are interested in, talk about. Both him and I do not like the ones with no answers. Like, I want to know what the fuck happened.
Yeah, I don't have an answer for you.
I can't do the, I don't know.
Yeah, you have to speculate on this yourself. Because I cannot present a plausible reasoning. All I know is that this happens. And there's been so many cases that are very specific to, oh, I didn't just, like, my sweater just caught on fire randomly and I just let myself burn to death. Like, nobody does that. Nobody does that. Even you if hear me, science? Nobody freaking does that. Nobody sits there with their sweater on fire and burns to death in front of their father silently. Nobody does that.
You would have to be incapacitated and dead.
Yeah.
For you to allow that to happen because your automatic reflexes are to make it stop.
Yeah, we're taught to make it stop. Ow, ow, it hurts. Make it stop hurting. Fire hurts. I don't know if you know this.
And in the investigation process, you would see that. You would know that that's what happened.
And you're not seeing somebody that's running through their house. You're seeing them stationary. When you are on fire, you're trying, like, what is the rule? It is stop, drop, and roll. You're not seeing somebody stopping, dropping, and rolling. Because if they did, that poor woman in Florida, her pile of newspapers would have gone up with her. But instead, it was left untouched. And this is the thing. It's not just the word spontaneous human combustion. There are certain factors that go along with it that makes absolutely no sense. And so I've wrecked my head, and I've ripped my skull, and I've gotten 30 new gray hairs about this, and I just want to put it to bed.
We've talked about recording this episode many, many, many times.
So long. It is done. And I will let you speculate on your own about what the answer is, because I have no idea. Because the survivors... So, I will say this. My first instinct is to say it is a PK manifestation, as I speculated, trying to separate or wanting to kill off their host and to become their own entity, and it's just gone wrong. Or it is the ball lightning. But when you have two people who have survived and they're aware and they're conscious of their burns. It's a little hard to say it's either one of those things because you don't have any paranormal, they don't have any paranormal experiences to associate leading up to that point. And they didn't have a lightning storm or a thunderstorm present either. So it's hard to speculate. There's something else happening in our bodies that we don't understand. We may, you know, 3,000 years down the road, when we have another, like, 600 cases of spontaneous human combustion, maybe that's when we'll know. So, that is our story for the day. I hope you don't have as many gray hairs as I did from this experience. And, it's like, New Year's Eve, huh? Tomorrow.
Yep.
When I release this episode.
Yep.
I mean, today.
I don't know what you're doing. Well, actually, I do because we talked about this earlier, but I will be hiding in my house with my puppy.
Yeah.
And our veteran.
Yeah, I will not be doing that. Going over to some friend's house.
Have fun for me.
Thank you. I will. And I'll be the horribly awkward, socially awkward person there, trying to be funny and then failing and then trying to find people to talk to and then being successful for a little bit and then failing and then chasing the children and then drinking. I think I'm going to drink. Maybe I won't drink. I don't know. We'll see. It should be fun. Yay, parties.
I'm going to zoo in the morning, so that's my New Year's fun.
That sounds like fun.
I'm going to go watch some animals be.
Animals?
Yep.
Yeah. What's your favorite animal at the zoo?
Otters, they're my favorite. They're my spirit animal. I am the one diving in the ice. My favorite part is watching them play with a little basketball.
That is cute.
So cute.
I like watching the beaver try to escape.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That one's fun for me. He just, like, he goes into the water. He knows exactly where the gate is, and then he walks up to the gate, and he just starts pulling on the gate. And he's just like, come on. Come on. Let me out. Come on. Come on! Come on.
He's the branch supervisor.
That's a beaver joke.
Beaver jokes.
Oh, that's great.
From the beaver state.
From the beaver state.
I can't remember his name, but...
Mr. Beeves.
I do remember that it's a boy, and they always are... So a lot of zoos have, like, YouTube channels, which we watch all of. The zoo shows and all of the zoo YouTube channels.
Yeah, you like the zoo.
Because I love animals. But ours is one of the only ones where the humans don't talk.
And that's good. All,
like, animals.
Yeah, I don't like talking humans. They're horrible.
I know.
How can anybody sit there and listen to them? They're awful.
Horrible.
I hate them. Don't you hate them? No. I actually like listening to the sound of my voice sometimes.
I mean, that's why we're podcasters.
Yeah. Because we are awesome. And we have them sexy ASMR voices.
And butts.
And butts.
ASMR butt.
On that note, we're going to call it a wrap, guys. I hope you have a happy 2024. Let's put 2023 in the past because it sucked balls.
I hope the new year is filled with peace. As much peace as you can have in your life. Because I know I need that.
No, that sounds like a good thing. I hope it's peace. I'd like to lose some weight, but I probably won't. And, yeah. As long as everybody stays happy and healthy, 2024, let's do this. Oh! Sorry, Harper. I was just slapping my hands. You're fine, honey. Aww.
It's okay, baby.
Harper, our show mascot. Well,
bye.
Yeah, happy new year. Bye.